From their studio in the Feeding Arizona building in Youngtown, Arizona, it's the Boomer and the Babe Show with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Join Pete and Deborah and their guests as they give voice to 78 million baby boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Now here are the Boomer and the Babe, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
And yes, indeed, it is the Boomer and the Babe Show. It is 11 o'clock on the West Coast and 2 o'clock on the East Coast. This is the Boomer and the Babe Show, broadcasting from our studios, actually in Sun City, Arizona. We've moved our studios, but we haven't changed our intro, so we're going to be doing that very shortly. But we're still in the same general area. Sun City's right next door to Youngtown, so we just drive to a different place. But nonetheless, we're glad to be here, and we're glad you're with us. I'd like to draw attention to our website, as I always do when we start the programs, which is boomerandthebabe.com. Please take a visit, see everything that we are involved in as Boomer and the Babe Incorporated, Boomer and the Babe Inc. All kinds of things in there that we do, all kinds of information on there about the various programs that we produce here on our Blog Talk platform, and also some of the other things like the book publishing is on there. Certainly, if you'd like to be an advertiser, we've got rates and schedules for that as well. And ask you please to sign up for a mailing list, which will also get you our online magazine on every 4 to 6 week basis. No charge, comes to your inbox, and we like to think that it's always good information, provided primarily by the people that have been on the show and a little bit of our own stuff as well that we manage to get in there and sprinkle in from time to time. My guest today is a very interesting gentleman. His name is Chris Vaca, that's with a V. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And Chris has got an interesting story. He is the developer of the blog site Over 50 and Broke. And because he was over 50 and he was broke. Welcome to the show, Chris Vaca.
Pete, thank you. It's Vaca.
Vaca, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Everybody makes that mistake.
All right. So we want to do our little two-minute movie, as I indicated to you prior to coming on air, which is your story, as Deborah would say, laser beam style, as to what you've been doing in the past prior to developing the website and prior to becoming over 50 and broke. So give us a little background, if you would, a little form of a bio, that'd be great, and then we'll move on from there.
Sure. Well, to start off, I'm a born and raised New Yorker in the great city of New York, in Manhattan, as a matter of fact. And I moved down to Florida for the sunshine, like everybody else. I'm sure you moved down to Arizona for the sunshine.
Absolutely.
And I did a variety of things, a variety of jobs, and I finally got into the mortgage business when the mortgage boom hit. And I started doing that, and business was really good. I mean, as you could imagine, I was doing 5, 6, 10 loans a month. Business was really good, and everything I was reading says that for the next 20 years, Florida was going to be a big boom for real estate, you know, because of all the baby boomers retiring and moving down here. So I figured I was pretty much set. My plan was to retire in 10 years. The boom was going to go 20 years, so I figured I was set, right? I had nothing to worry about retirement or anything like that. But then all of a sudden, bada boom, bada bing, and the mortgage meltdown hit.
Mm-hmm.
And that hit me pretty hard. But I was holding on. I was trying to get by. And I went from doing all those loans a month to doing like 5 a year.
Wow.
So it hurt me pretty good, as you could imagine. But the final nail in the coffin for me was when the federal government came up with those new regulations, and they put a ton more regulation on top of the ton of regulation we already had, and a little guy like me just couldn't survive. I mean, you know, it was me and 3 other people working in the company. It wasn't a big operation, but I just couldn't exist anymore. I couldn't do it, all the regulations, so I had to go bust, and that pretty much landed me where I was, over 50 and broke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What were some of the regulations particularly that you're referring to?
Well, for one thing, they didn't let me make any money.
Ah.
which was in the old days, the the bank, if I would brought a loan to a bank that I was doing business with, they would pay me a premium to do that loan. Okay? With the new regulation, that wasn't allowed anymore. The bank couldn't pay me. If I wanted to make any money, I had to charge the customer. Okay? Now, how that helps the customer, I don't know. I would think it'd be better for the bank to pay me the premium than to take it out of the customer's pocket. And just the tons of paperwork that they had you doing. I mean, every little nitpicky thing they needed to know, you know. And if your I wasn't dotted, if the T wasn't crossed, I mean, you were in violation. That's how stringent they actually were.
Mm-hmm. So and what brought that on?
What, the regulation?
The regulation. What brought on the regulation?
Well, the mortgage meltdown, the housing crisis.
Okay.
You know, which in my opinion, the government started in the first place by forcing the banks to do all those crazy loans with, you know, no money down and no job verification and everything like that. They're the ones that started it, and then, you know, they blame everybody else.
Sure.
Typical government, you know.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting look at it. I've never heard the case because I don't know anything about it. Maybe that's why I don't know. I'm the first to admit that I know nothing about it. I didn't realize that the government was forcing the banks to make those loans.
Yeah, they forced the banks. They said if because the government, you know, gave the banks the money. The way it works, I mean, banks don't have an endless well of money. You know, they would do the loan, then they'd sell it either on the mortgage, either on the open market or back to the government. The government would give them more money to lend some more. So they put the screws to these banks, you know, either, listen, you start lowering your standards or, you know, we're going to make it hard for you to do loans, to do business. And that's how this whole thing started to begin with.
I'll be darned. That's news to me. I never heard that anywhere on the newscast that I was watching. That's for sure.
I thought everybody knew that. I thought that was common knowledge.
Well, the way you explained it, it's a little more plain talk than what they were probably saying, and I never realized it to be exactly that case.
Yeah, well, you know the government didn't blame themselves. You know that. They blamed everybody else. They pointed the fingers, but they were the ones that started the whole thing.
Okay, we know it's always somebody else's fault.
Yeah, always.
Exactly. So now you're over 50 and
56 years old.
56.
I was, yes, 56
so
years old.
That explains the over 50 part of the over 50 and broke.
Yeah.
So what did you do when you had to close down your operation or whatever it was?
Well, you know, I tried to hang on. You know, my plan was to keep the business going until the market came back. But here I am. I'm 60 years old now, and the market still is not back. So
right.
it was kind of rough going. I used my savings, trying to stay afloat. Naturally, I went through the credit card thing, you know, maxing out my credit cards. And it just got to the point where I just couldn't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty much, I got evicted from my apartment. My car was repossessed. I mean, I was left with really nothing. It was like starting all over again, you know. And at 56, so close to retirement, it's pretty scary. It really is.
So your savings were depleted. Your automobile was gone. Your house was gone. You were looking for a bridge to live under.
It almost came to that. Believe me, it almost came to that, Pete.
Yeah.
But what I had to do is it was something I didn't want to do, but it was something that I pretty much had no choice, and I had to call my ex-wife and sort of crawl back to her for a place to live. So that was a little humiliating for me, really was.
Well, was the couch at least comfortable?
Luckily, she got the house when we divorced. I got the old kids' room there. You know, that's where I slept. There was nothing going on. If anybody's interested, there was nothing going on.
No, I wouldn't suggest that there was. I just had this vision of you sleeping on the mat on the floor with a dog or something.
Well, I tell you, it's a good thing we remained friends, because if we weren't, I mean, I would have been, the dog would have got to bed and I would have been outside sleeping
there
on the
go.
Porch.
There you go. You know? There you go. Absolutely.
But well, I'll tell you one thing. It didn't work out too bad for her, even though, like, she'll never admit it, because at that point, you know, she was working, and I became like the, I don't know, houseboy, housemaid, whatever you want to call it. She was at work. I straightened up. I made sure the house was clean. You know, I cooked dinner. When she got home, she had dinner. And so it worked out pretty good for her. But you'll never hear her admit that.
Oh, of course. So now, did you, while you were in this predicament of living with your former wife, were you seeking employment at that time, or you were looking to start something else, or what was your mindset? I mean, that's got to be pretty devastating.
It was. I'm going to tell you, I don't know if anybody in your audience ever went through anything like this, but the biggest thing that grabs a hold of you is fear. You know, especially at our age, at my age, 56 I was. I mean, I was looking forward to retirement. I mean, I had a business I thought I was going to either leave to my kids or sell or something like that and have retirement. And you have nothing, so it's pretty scary. It's a scary situation. And, you know, I'm there with my ex-wife, and I had no car. And where we lived, it wasn't a metropolis. There was no buses or subways or anything like that to get around. So I was pretty much stuck in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent out resume after resume, you know, looking for a job and making phone calls to old contacts in the business and everything. And I got nothing back. I must have sent out 100 resumes, really.
Wow.
I mean, just to get something. You know, I wanted to stay in the business. That's what I knew, the mortgage business. And, you know, I just got nothing. And it didn't take me long to realize that maybe it was because of my age. You know,
mm-hmm.
That was my mindset. Because of my age, nobody's looking to hire me. So I had to do something on my own. And that's what I did.
Well, let's talk about that age discrimination thing. We've had several people on our show over time that have had that discussion, and it's been with regard to baby boomers being part of a reduction in force or a RIF, or being let go, and because their position was quote unquote no longer necessary or eliminated. Downsizing is another term that many of them would use. Now, I realize they don't all apply to you because you had your own business and you were at least partners in a business. But nonetheless, there's a psychology there to a baby boomer in particular that's trying to circle back, if you will, and find employment after having been released either ceremoniously or unceremoniously, that really causes some mental strain. It's proven to cause mental strain. And I imagine it was that way with you.
Oh, yeah. You know, any time a situation like that, I don't care what age you are. I mean, you're going to be under some kind of strain. I mean, it's just that the older you are, I think the more strain you're going to be under because you're worried about more about your future. I mean, you hit retirement, you have nothing. Like I said, I used everything. I mean, I had nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, strain was, I don't know if that's a good word. What's beyond strain?
going crazy. Pulling your hair out.
Yeah. I mean, it was hard. It was really hard. But, you could get through anything if you just focus on the positive side of things, which I learned how to do. So, and that's important.
And that is one of the things that a lot of these counselors, if you will, or experts have said to us, in conversation on the show, and that is that a lot of it is about your mental outlook and what you decide to do and that you are determined to do. And the fact that you need to, it's an old adage, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I understand all that. But, I mean,
yeah.
And it's more difficult sometimes than anybody can ever imagine, and it's certainly easier said than done in many, many cases.
Sure.
However, you have to have the resilience. You have to find the resilience. And Deborah has something that she says when we talk about that topic, and that is that you can fall down, but as long as you're falling forward, somehow, some way, you're falling forward. You're still moving, and you're heading in the right direction, although it may not seem like it. As long as you're falling forward, you're probably going to end up being at least okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a saying that I tell my kids all the time, okay, you know, which I learned. And I tell them, if something bad happens to you in life, all right, you could do one of two things. You can either sit in a corner and cry about it, or you can get off your ass and do something about it. I mean, it's your choice. You know, we have the choice. We could sit there and cry and wallow in our misery, or if we could get off and do something about it, try to get back on our feet. And that's important, really is.
And to support exactly what you said, we have a gentleman that has written a book, and he is one of our, what we call our authors, and he also has a show on the Arizona Boomer Network that we do here for the Arizona content that we do on the show. And his book is called Success or Failure, The Choice is Yours.
Yeah.
And he says that what you need to do is when you're having problems and having difficulties, you need to look in the mirror, because the guy looking back at you or the woman looking back at you, his chances are pretty good that they're the one that are causing your problems.
Yeah. I have one of the things I started besides my my website, Over 50 and Broke, is I started a series of videos on YouTube called Over 50 and Broke. And one of the videos, I talk about a disease that hits big majority of the population. It's called excusitis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, people make excuses for everything.
That's right.
Why they don't have any money, why they can't do this, why they can't go here, why they can't find a job. I mean, the excuses are what kills you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, stop the excuses and start doing something.
Right.
That's one of the things I try to bring across to people.
Unless you are absolutely physically incapacitated, that you cannot literally get out of bed or you cannot get up off the chair or whatever the case might be, and you can't dial the phone, there really are basically no excuses.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, the thing that I found, I got into the Internet business, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was pretty much forced into it. Like I said, I was sitting at home and I had no car. I had nothing to do, but I did have the computer. And I started to do searches on there because I just had to stay productive somehow in my mind. So every morning, you know, it was like 9 o'clock, the TV, 9 o'clock in the morning, TV'd go off, and I'd jump on a computer like I was going to work, you know. And I started doing searches, and half the times I really didn't know what I was searching for. But I happened to stumble across this one site, this one header popped up in me, okay. And it says, you know, how to attract success. And I happened to click on it, and it was an old Oprah show, okay? But on it, she had a guest who was saying how we could attract, the law of attraction. I don't know if you heard of it or you believe
it. Yes, I have.
Okay, and that's what it was about. And I read it over 5, 6, 7 times, and I said, this is for me. I said, this is it. And that's what turned me around. You have to change the way you think. You have to change your attitude. You have to change your outlook, or else you're not going to get anywhere.
Well, you have to be willing to accept the success too.
Oh yeah, for
sure.
I mean,
it's one thing to say that I'm going to be successful, I'm going to go out and do this and do that, but you have to be willing to accept it and feel that you are worthy of that success. And that's where I think a lot of folks that are have found themselves in your position, they fall down on the job, so to speak, because they don't find themselves or think of themselves as being a worthy individual, worthy of having everything that they had before, or worthy of gaining it back again. It's a worth issue in some cases, I do believe.
Yeah, it's a big mental hurdle. It definitely is, but it's something that you have to work on, and you have to get over that hump.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just have to, or else you're not going to go anywhere. Like I
yeah.
say, you could sit and cry all day. That's not going to get you anything.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And it's a shame. But I find, because I have a lot of people that, baby boomers, people that lost everything, their job or their business or whatever, and they contact me. And when I talk to these people, I find out that a lot of them are looking, since it's their, I think it must be because of their age, that they're looking for some kind of instant success. You know, press a button and everything's okay. All right, but it just doesn't happen that way. You have to put the time and the effort in anything you're going to do, okay, to make something. It's that simple. I mean, when I started my Internet business, it took me a while to get everything. I was one of those guys that thought the Internet was a fad. It wasn't going to last, you know, it was one of those old sayings. But and the Internet was rough for me to learn. You know, you think because I had a mortgage business that I knew about the computer and the Internet, which I didn't. The only thing I knew at that time when I had my business was how to fill out a loan application, print it out, and play solitaire. I mean, that was pretty much my extent of knowledge on the computer. So it took me about 7 or 8 months to get everything together, start the business going, and I finally got my first check, which was for $34.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people would have been discouraged and thrown in the towel, but to me, that $34 meant, I remember saying to myself, wow, you can really make money at this. You really can. And I thought to myself, you know, if I can make $34, I can make $340. Mm-hmm. And if I can make $340, I can make $3,400. And that's how you got to prepare your mind. You have to always look forward, always a positive looking forward, you know?
Right.
And a lot of people can't do that.
Well, I firmly subscribe to what you said just a minute or two ago, and that was that there is no, what I call, the silver bullet. There's no such thing as a silver bullet to rapid instant success. And for the most part, when you hear of these people that have supposedly, in my findings, they say, well, I've made all this money and so on and so forth, and we've done this, and we've got this website that just makes us tons and tons of money, and we've got this massive list, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then somewhere along the line, you may just hear about them having a collapse because it was never really there to begin with. They were looking for the fast instant buck, and it just doesn't.
Let me tell you something. One thing I learned when I was doing my searches, looking for things to do online.
Yes.
There are thousands upon thousands of people out there that are going to say, you know, make $12,000 a month working 4 hours a week, or you know what I'm talking about, right?
Exactly, exactly.
And those are the people that make all the money,
right?
Because they sucker the people in, you know, and people fall for that, and they believe that, and then when they don't, after 2 months, they don't make $12,000 a month, then they just, you know, they give up, and they walk away. But it takes time.
Yeah, you may as well go to Vegas or Atlantic City or play the lottery or something else. You know, you have probably just as much chance of winning there as you do someplace else on some of these get-rich-quick schemes that are.
Yeah, I mean, these are the people that make money. They truly do, because there's so many gullible people out there that are not willing to put in the time and effort to build something. And, you know, that's a shame. That really is.
Well,
and the thing is, they jump from one get-rich-quick scheme to another. Then they find another. Then they find another. And it's never-ending for these people. Never-ending.
Well, you know? if Robert, was it Robert Kawasaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he just claimed bankruptcy, I believe it was, to the tune of $11 million.
For one of his companies, yeah, I was reading.
For one of his companies, yeah. And yeah.
It wasn't him personally. It was one of his companies.
Well, yeah, but it was still him. I understand that it was one of his companies, but nonetheless, if it can happen to him, you know, it can easily happen to anybody. Absolutely,
yeah.
Anybody. So there's all kinds of things that some of these people have lent their name to, and so on and so forth, and they're going to co with you this and co with you that, and sometimes I just don't buy it. I am just a skeptic, and I just don't buy it.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, who like to save your shoes? You know, roll up your pants. My eyes never used to be this brown. So I don't know. I mean, that's just kind of my bias on things like that. I mean, I've never gotten anything without busting my can, and nobody's ever given me anything of any major consequence just because I'm so cool and just for being me. So I've had to earn, and I still have to earn everything that I have or hope to get. So,
yeah.
And that's fine, and it makes it that much more worthwhile when it happens that way.
Yeah, and you know, I can understand people like my age. All right, they're in a rush because they figure, well, how much time do I have left? So I got to do something real quick, you know. But I lost my business when I was 56.
Mm-hmm.
If I would have just, you know, sat in a corner or run over to Walmart and got a job stocking something or else like that.
Great.
That's
great.
If that's what you want to do, that's great. Hey, more power to you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I took the time to do something, and here it is 4 years later, and I'm back on my feet, and I'm doing okay, you know. And people don't look ahead down the road what it could be, and it's a shame.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, I don't know how old you are now. When this, I think you said you're what, 60?
I'm 60 now. Yeah.
Yeah, 60. Well, I'm 65, and I tell you, you may think you don't have much time. I got less. tell me a little bit more about what you did to bring us specifically what you did to bring yourself back. I know you started doing something with this over Broken 50. How did the inspiration for that come to be, and what did you find as you were doing it? What were some of the hurdles that you had to jump over?
Well, actually, that I got that idea from somebody else. After I lost my business, I started, you know, doing things online and starting putting up websites. Excuse me. And I start putting up websites. I found that I was sitting there for 8-9 months just on a computer, not doing much of anything else. So I looked in a mirror one day and I was 50 pounds heavier. All right, I had put on 50 pounds because I wasn't doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked. I had some money coming in now because I had a couple of websites go and generate money for me. So I said, this has got to stop. I said, I can't do this. So what I did, I went over to Walmart. And believe me, when you're 50 pounds heavier, you're sneaking around in the dark. At least I did. I didn't want anybody to see me. I didn't want to run into anybody that I knew, you know, because you know what happens when you meet somebody like that. They won't say anything, but they give you the eye up and down. And, you know, they're thinking, boy, did this guy get fat or what, you know? So
the old stink guy.
Yeah. So I went over to Walmart. And I was looking around, and I got pretty let's call it frugal. I don't want to say cheap in that time period when I didn't have any money. I was a little frugal still, and this exercise ball caught my eye, which was for $18, right up my alley. So I bought that, and I got it home, and I developed an exercise routine for myself, which I call Over 50 and Having a Ball, which is also on YouTube. And but I started doing that. I started exercising half hour in the morning, half hour at night. Just ate like a rabbit for those couple of months, you know, when I finally started to drop off the weight. But during that time period, I was in contact with one of these fitness blogs, one of these guys that runs a fitness blog. And we started telling each other things, you know, and I told him my story. He told me his story. And he told me, he said, Chris, you know, you got a pretty good story. He said, why don't you try putting it online? I mean, you could reach a lot of people and probably help a lot of people. And that's what got me the idea. And it took me a couple of weeks, and I said, you know, that's probably a good idea. I think I'm going to try that. So that's when the Over 50 and Broke came into view, and I started that, and the Over 50 Having a Ball, I started that. And things just started to take off from there.
So the Over 50 Having a Ball is still out there today, and being updated and so on and so forth. Or?
Well, that's just a video. That's a side thing. I find that more people are interested in how to make money, how to get back in the game than they are about staying fit. You know,
right.
So that part is not doing all that well. But the Over 50 and Broke is. And as a matter of fact, I had a lady. If you got time, a minute for a story.
Sure.
I had this grandmother contact me. She was from New Jersey. And she's living on Social Security. She's by herself. And she wasn't looking to make, you know, $10,000 a month or anything like that. The only thing she wanted to do was make an extra $500, $600 a month so she could afford to take her grandchildren places and buy them all kinds of goodies and things like that, you know, which grandparents do. That's what they do, right?
That's right.
But so I started working with her, and it took about 4 months. And she got to her goal. She was making $500 a month. And, you know, I pressed her to do more, but she was happy with what she was doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She
right.
says, if I put in more time, that's going to take time away from my grandchildren, she says. So
right.
I said, hey, lady, God bless you. You know, you had a goal, you went for it, you hit it, and that's what it's all about.
Well, and she was staying within her priorities, and that was fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, she set a ceiling for herself, which I guess she was happy with. you know. But that's what she wanted to do, and that's what she did. And that's one of my videos. I talk about success and how it's different for different people. Not everybody's a success the same way as anybody else.
Exactly.
You know, she was happy 500 a month. It might be somebody else that wants to make 5,000 a month.
Sure.
So it's all in your mind. Whatever you want to do.
Exactly. Well, I want to come back and talk a little bit more about some of these other things that we were discussing prior to the show. But right now I got a couple of messages that I've got to play, and we'll be right back in about 2 minutes.
Sounds good to me.
Boomer the Babe are the publishers of Boomer Series books. Our authors have their own shows on the Boomer the Babe Network. We encourage you to listen. Ron Naraki, author of the forthcoming book, The 10 Commandments of Investing, is the host of Wealth DNA, a financial show about real estate investment. Learn how to build and manage your portfolio. Ron hosts the show, and he always has good information to pass along, as do his guests. Listen to Wealth DNA on the second and fourth Monday of the month at 8 a.m. Arizona time. Tom Liggering's another Boomer Series author. His book, Success or Failure, The Choice is Yours, is the basis of the show he does with his broadcast partner, Dr. Terry Munther. Listen to Success or Failure with Tom and Terry on the fourth Wednesday of every month at 9 a.m. Arizona time. Learn how you can maximize your performance in business and in life. The methods you employ can either help or hinder. The choice is yours. The Boomer and the Babe are proud to be affiliated with Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free. Valley View is now serving Phoenix from their new 36,000 square foot location at West Peoria and 107th Avenue in Sun City, Arizona. The new location houses the food bank, Feeding Arizona, and the Valley View Thrift Store. Feeding Arizona delivers food to other food banks and food pantries that are in need. If you're looking for a 501c3 to support, go to valleyviewcommunityfoodbank.com. All donations are welcome, be it food, money, or volunteer hours. No donation is too small. Get a hold of Jesse Ramirez, founder and director, and say, "I want to help." Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free.
And we're back with the Boomer the Babe Show. It is Thursday, October 18th, 2012. We're talking with Chris Vacca. And Chris is, did I say it right that time, Chris?
Yes, you did, sir. Yes, you did.
All right, good. He is the developer of the blog site Over 50 and Broke. And we've been talking about his exploits in the mortgage industry, mortgage banking industry. And when it was devastated, so was he. And he's managed to bring himself back, and we're in the middle of that story right now. So why don't we kind of continue along those lines that we were discussing earlier, Chris? At some point, you started your website. You were starting to have some success. And then, as I understand it, you developed an interest in writing. How did that transpire?
It seemed like a natural progression. Well, let me take that back a step. Actually, about 10 years ago, I wrote a little book when I moved down to Florida. It was called Florida, A Nice Place to Visit, But Please Get Me Back to New York. Okay, it was my story about a city kid and the culture shock I go through moving to Florida. And I wrote that just as a whim. It's a small little book, like 40 pages. You know, I wrote it originally just for family and friends, that type of thing. And it caught on, and before I knew it, I sold over 3,000 copies. All right, but that was 10 years ago. That, I guess that's when it first started for me. I said, "Wow, I like this." Mm-hmm. But then I got caught up in my mortgage business, and you know that just faded away. But as I started doing my websites, I have five websites up, and so you have to write all the material, and you have to write what they call, you have to get backlinks, so you have to write for different internet article bases online and everything like that to get you. So I found that I liked it. I really liked it. And that's how I got into it. And about a year and a half ago, I finished a book, which is on sale now at Barnes & Noble's or Amazon, whatever you like. It's called America, A Society Gone Wrong. And it's just a book of what I think is, you know, going on wrong with America these days. And from that, you know, I just finished my last book, which is entitled Age Should Never Be an Excuse for Not Succeeding. And I just finished it like 3 weeks ago, as a matter of fact. And I'm in the process of tweaking it, touching it up, and in the process of looking for a publisher myself. So that's pretty much where I am.
So do you have publishers that do this, or are you self-published?
The America Society Gone Wrong is self-published. It's actually an e-book, okay, which you could download to your computer, what have you. This Age Should Never Be an Excuse for Not Succeeding, I'm searching for a publisher right now.
Okay, so you're thinking you want to do that with a publisher rather than be self-published?
Yeah. Well, I think it's you could get a bigger base. I think it's just easier thing to do at this point. I mean, because I also do seminars and things like that also, and every time I do a seminar, people come up to me and say, "Well, have you written a book? Do you write a book?" And that's what gave me an idea to write this book. You know, age should never be an excuse for not succeeding.
Right.
So.
And your book, Society Gone Wrong. What is the thrust of that book? Other than, I mean, I know it's your thoughts on what's gone awry, but what are some of your thoughts?
Yeah, it's my personal beliefs. Like I'm a guy that. I don't know. I don't like to say I live in the past, but I think the past was a hell of a lot better than the present. I mean, you know, you're my age. You're 65. I mean, you look back to the 50s and 60s. Those were good years, were they not?
Well, they were. But they were certainly the basis of a lot of change, weren't they?
60s, yeah. 60s came a lot of change. A lot of change.
Yeah. We baby boomers, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know, draft beer, not students.
I'll tell you, I was wouldn't what you call a hip guy in those days. I mean, I wasn't into the drugs and rock and roll. I mean, sex is another story, but the drugs and the rock and roll weren't my thing. I mean, you know, I didn't have long hair, and I didn't do any drugs. And matter of fact, I was a little bit of a freak when I was 12, 13 years old. I had the best Al Jolson collection than any grown up had.
I'll be darned.
All these guys are listening to this long-haired heavy metal stuff, and I'm in my house listening to Al Jolson records, you know?
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
And Mammy was my favorite, right?
Jeez. Yeah, it's interesting when you start looking at the way the boomer generation has developed over the years and the directions that it's taken, and it's the dichotomy, the split, if you will, in the political and economic beliefs and structural beliefs, religious beliefs. I mean, that for it's a huge cohort. It's 78 million people, and who would ever think that 78 million people would all think one way anyhow? It's just nuts. But there really are a lot of divergent opinions in that group, and I can't say that any one of them has all the answers, although they all claim to have.
Yeah. I mean, it's the baby boomer generation. But, you know, by the way, the baby boomer generation have been hit the hardest because of this recession. The biggest group that was hit the hardest was the baby boomer recession. I mean, first of all, when that thing hit, the stock market, as you know, crashed.
Right.
And everybody's losing their pensions and their 401ks with nothing. And a lot of people lost out. A lot of people lost out.
Yes, they did. There's no doubt about it.
I'll tell you, one of the best things about not losing everything is you don't have to worry about losing anything again. I mean, I always had that in my mind. I just kept trying everything. I said, "What the hell do I got to lose? I have nothing. It's only going to be a positive, you know."
That's right. Yeah, you start from ground zero. You can only go one way.
That's right. If you're on a floor, you only could go up.
That's right. That's right. So now you mentioned that there's other things you're doing. You've got, I don't know, how many websites did you say you have?
Five total. And I'll tell you, you know, when I first started doing this, you know what amazes me with the internet is that it's worldwide. I mean, it's worldwide. I mean, it's not like you open up a store and you need people from the neighborhood to come and shop at your store. I mean, every morning I get up and I check the stats on it, and you know, I see people hitting my websites from China, Australia, Brazil, Canada, England. I mean, the Ukraine. I mean, it's amazing that all these people just could divulge on your site. It's unbelievable.
Well, we find the same thing with our site, or a couple of sites that we have, and certainly our Blog Talk Radio shows. People are listening to this thing all over the world, and all of a sudden we get some information that somebody heard us in wherever it was, and we go, wow, how about this?
How do they have translators?
Well, you know what? I do believe. Here's what I do believe. I do believe English is becoming the worldwide language, and regardless of where you are, what country it is, I think that they may speak their native tongue, but they also have an understanding of English because they understand that that is the international language and the one that is most commonly spoken. Regardless of where you are, I think there's going to have to be. There's always somebody that speaks English. So I think that's kind of the way it is. So what are some of the other topics of some of your other sites?
Well, let's see. I got there's a pet care site, how to take care of pets. Another one, how to train pets. And all this stuff, I wasn't an expert on these, but you learn it online. That's what the beauty part of the internet is. You could learn anything you want online. I could see a day when there's not going to be any libraries anymore. You know, because the way this internet is, I mean, all you need to do is jump on it and look something up, and it's right there.
So, do you have product for sale on all of your sites?
Yeah.
For instance, that's
what I do when first thing I do when I get up, and I found out how much money I made while I was sleeping. You know, it's an amazing thing.
Your pet care sites, as an example, what might be some of the products that one would find on the pet care sites?
Well, there's, you know, how to take care of fleas, if that, how to stop a dog from barking, you know, different things like that. People that have problems with their pets, with their dogs, or whatever. And you know, I mean, I don't do anything with hamsters or anything like that. But, you know, but.
Okay.
I mean, but in the first place, what kind of trouble could a hamster cause, right?
Yeah. go ask some emergency room physician.
Yeah. I didn't even think of that. That's right.
the thing about the pet sites. I mean, we're a dog family. We're only a one dog family, but. We understand that the pet industry is gargantuan, billions of dollars.
It's amazing. And the thing is, they're not my products. I mean, I don't make them. I don't, do anything like that. I mean, I sell them for other people. That's a good part about the internet. I mean, you could latch onto a product, find out who's making it, or set up a little website to sell that product for these people, and you make money off that. So. It's a whole new world, and it took me a long time to really grasp how wonderful the internet was. But I think it's the best invention ever in my lifetime that I've seen. I really do.
Oh yeah. Well, there's no doubt about it. It's revolutionized everything that's going on. It has revolutionized business. It's revolutionized the political scene. It's revolutionized the news media. Everything has been revolutionized just by the virtue of the internet. So it's really, really, really pretty exciting. And yeah. I don't know what's going to come next. Other than they can just make it faster and faster and faster. I guess I don't know what else there is.
So they said that 50 years ago. What else is there? Everything is invented.
Yeah, I know exactly. Everything was invented. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then look what happened.
Yeah, I'm sure they said that 200 years ago. Everything's invented. What else do we have to invent, you know?
Yeah, I mean, after all, we got stones to throw and
that's right. What else do we need?
And spears to
to stab people with, and what else do we need? So what do you see as the future? What's the future for Chris Vacca, and what's the future for your just general future?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm always trying to move a step ahead. I mean, I set up my internet business. That was one thing. Once I got that up and rolling, it gave me the opportunity to move on to other things like the writing. I really enjoy writing. Okay, I finished that other book. I started another book, which is called "Real Men Eat Salami." All right, which is a little book I just started. I also started to write a couple of screenplays. I'm interested in. I have a few movie ideas, television ideas. I mean, I don't know if any of these things will ever come together, but it gives me the opportunity. I have the opportunity to move forward with it and try to put something together. And if you're going to stay just stagnant, not move, I mean, you might as well be dead, as far as I'm concerned. You know?
Sure.
But I just every time I conquer something, I do something, I look forward to what else can I, my next step. You know, what else can I do?
Right.
What else can I accomplish? And I wish so many more people our age would get that mindset. I really do. Because, you know, they say that 60 is the new 40 anyway, right?
Right.
So, hey, we got a hell of a lot more time to go.
Yes,
you know,
we
than
do.
Than our
yes,
parents did. But it's something that you got to keep moving. You always got to look ahead. And you just, whatever opportunity opens up to you, you got to be there for it. You have to recognize it and grab it. You know, it's just when I was going through all this just problem and everything, I started to read a lot of these so-called gurus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how are you going to be rich, and they want you to do that. And I'll tell you, nine out of ten of them would say, well, you got to cut back. You have to, you know, stop living so large and start saving some money for your retirement. And that, see, that doesn't sit with me, okay?
Right.
I don't want to cut back anything. I want more. Anyway, at that time when I was reading those books, if I cut back anything else, like you said before, I'd be living under a bridge. You
right.
know, I really didn't have much to cut back. But that cutting thing to live within my means, I don't like that. That doesn't sit well with me. I want more so I can live a better life.
Well, there's one thing. There's one thing that's living within your means. There's another thing for living to excess, and that just, in essence, it lessens your means.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not saying go. You know,
yeah,
if you get
a
check for $1,000, go out and spend $1,500. You know, that's not what I'm talking about.
No, I understand. Yeah. I understand, but I mean the fact that you're always looking to improve is not a bad thing, and the fact that if you have been forced to cut back and forced to reduce your means, so to speak, it's not good. But by the same token, it certainly does help you refocus.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, like when I started making, you know, little by little, I started getting a check, $34, $80, $150, and little by little it grew, okay? And I was still very cheap, or frugal, whatever you want to say, and I was afraid to spend any money because that's pretty much all I had. But once you hit a point like I did, well, okay, I have a certain amount of money coming in where I feel comfortable every month. That gives you the opportunity to start stepping forward, going ahead, trying other things, living a little better, you know?
Right, right.
I mean, I like living large. At least trying to live large anyway.
Yeah, and as you're trying to expand and so on and so forth, too, when you have the ability to do that, I mean, there comes a certain element of let's throw this against the wall and frankly see if it sticks. And if it sticks, good. If it doesn't, well, we'll just find something else to throw against the wall.
I am a firm believer, in my seminars I talk about that, about throwing everything you could think of against the wall, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sooner or later something's going to stick. It's just that simple. You just got to keep on trying. Persistence, the name of the game.
And when we talk to people, we call that multiple streams of income.
Yes.
You have to try to develop multiple streams of income.
Yes.
That's why we have a radio show. That's why we publish an online magazine. We publish mini books. We publish e-books. We do some consulting. There's any number of things that we do to try to develop those multiple streams of income. Because if one's not working, hopefully something else will be.
Exactly. Exactly.
Maximize your opportunities.
Yeah, I truly believe in that 100%. I really do. I mean, and I'll tell you, the thought of me working for somebody, I just could never do that anymore. I mean, I just couldn't.
Well, there's one thing that I say all the time, and I mean all the time, and I've been saying it for many, many years, and that is, I am absolutely serially unemployable. There is no way that anybody will hire me to work for them for a paycheck, and I've done that. I've had that part of my life, and I've made a lot of people an awful lot of money in spite of themselves, and I'm not going to do it anymore. I mean, I would rather try and bust my can and be less than successful in some of my endeavors than go out and do the same thing for somebody else. And just for the paycheck, that really bothers me anymore. And I guess it's a sign of age.
Well, it's just a frame of mind. I mean, you know, that's the way I think also. I mean, you know, I work for many people during the course of my lifetime. And, you know, you get a paycheck, you know, a couple hundred dollars. Meanwhile, you made a couple of thousand for them. You know,
right.
And which is good. I mean, some people just don't want the responsibility or whatever, you know, they're happy getting their check and going home and sitting in front of TV, open up a six-pack, have some Doritos, and, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as you're happy doing that, okay?
Sure.
But if you're unhappy with the way your life is going, you have to take charge of your life. You have to do something to change it,
mm-hmm.
All right? You have to take that, what's that old saying, Confucius, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step.
That's it. That's
you know?
It. That's right, success is not a destination; it's a journey, or something like that. Something one of those two. I don't know exactly.
Yeah.
But I know I just bollocks that one all up, but I saw it on a wall somewhere, and I thought I'd try to remember it all.
The bathroom wall, right?
Yeah,
the
yeah,
wall.
Well, yeah. It didn't. That was another slogan. Why don't you tell us, Chris, give us your shameless self-promotion. You said you do seminars and things like that, so tell us about that. I'll give you an opportunity to sell your wares right here.
Oh, I hate to brag. Come on, Pete, you know that. But since you give me the opportunity, it's nothing. Look, I have a few websites that I make money off of. Like the Over 50 and Broke website, I really don't make any money off of. I make maybe $200 a month or something like that. And on that website, I have my email address. If you need help with anything, contact me. I'll be more than happy to help you. I also have available two programs that are available. One is the Attracting Wealth, which I 100% believe in. Okay, there's nobody going to tell me that it doesn't work because it does. And another program, which is How to Get Started, if you're interested in doing an internet business, it gets you started with that also. Okay, if you need seminar information, my email address is there. Just let me know when and where or whatever, and we'll make arrangements. If you're interested in my book, Age Should Never Be an Excuse for Not Succeeding, just go to my website, email me your information, your email address, and when the book is released, I'll let you know, and, you can get that done also. But that's about it. I mean, as far as that, my website, I also have my YouTube videos, okay, Over 50 and Broke on YouTube, where it breaks down in series. I think there's about 8 or 9 videos on there right now where I go through different subjects. One is the meaning of success. How to recognize opportunity, you know, things like that to help people along. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest treats that I get is, now that I reached a point in my life where, okay, I don't really have to worry about an income because I'm getting in every month, helping other people get to that point is I think, one of the most rewarding feelings that you could get. I'm sure you know that too, you know,
sure,
the work that you
sure
do. I mean, it's very rewarding. It really is to give back,
mm-hmm,
to give back.
It is.
And, you know, just the only thing I could say to if any people out there that are listening that are in dire straits, lost a job, lost a business, or just living on Social Security, I mean, just do something. I mean, take that first step. Get off your behind and do something.
There's,
I mean,
always,
you know,
something that can be done.
Always, especially these days. These,
yes,
days, this, you know, everything is like the, is like I used to watch in, remember the old series Buck Rogers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was riding with my daughter about a month or so ago, and she has that Bluetooth in there,
yes,
for the phone, and it sounded like, I said, what the hell's going on? I said, I used to watch that in Buck Rogers movies, you know, and now it's there. So, but really, for everybody that's listening, if you need any help with any getting the first step or, you know, whatever, I mean, please just contact me. If I can help you, I will. And Pete, I know you've been doing a good job doing that with people.
Yes, we try to do that as well. And so is it safe to say then that anything they want to get hold of you with regard to, it all comes can be contacted through over 50.
Over 50 and Broke by website. You could go to, and let me just say one thing to people out there. I will not accept any negativity on my website. Okay? I just won't allow it. If I talk to you and you're telling me that, you know, and I feel that you're a negative person, and I just won't help you. Because I think a positive attitude is the first step in doing anything in your life.
Well, then, so, I mean, it's one thing for you to do some work with somebody and so on and so forth, but it makes your job many-fold more difficult if you have to overcome their negativity as well before you can even get started.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember months back, I was talking with this one guy, and he said, Chris, this is all a bunch of bullshit. I don't believe in anything you're saying, but I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a try. I said, pal, you're already defeated. You're not, you know?
Right.
I says, why don't you do this? Why don't you go read some motivational books and then call me in about 2 or 3 months,
mm-hmm,
and see if we could get together, you know?
Right.
So negativity is one thing I don't like.
Yeah, well, he was coming into it with from the wrong direction anyhow, to begin with.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, if you don't believe in it, if you think it's a lot of crap, why are you even calling me for it?
Yeah, don't bother me.
Yeah.
You got enough of your own things to worry about. Don't
exactly
involve, don't involve me.
It's like that old saying, you know, don't make your problems my problems.
There you go. Exactly.
You know, I got enough of my own.
Absolutely. Well, Chris, I tell you, it's been a fast hour.
Is it an hour already?
It's been an hour. It's amazing.
Wow.
58
wow
minutes. And I want to thank you for being patient and hanging with me and getting you on, because I know we had a couple of snafus along the way. And believe me,
oh,
they
boy,
were,
Murphy's Law was hitting left and right
those couple
of weeks.
And they were mine, not yours. And I apologize for that. But I'm glad we got together.
Yeah, so am I. I really enjoyed it. I had a good time. This is probably one of the best interviews that I've enjoyed in a long time. I really mean that sincerely.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate hearing that.
Okay.
We try to make them fun as well as informative.
Yeah. Well, Pete, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it for having me on.
Okay,
and
thank you very much.
Make sure you give my regards to Deborah.
I'll do that. I certainly will. Thanks again for being my guest.
Okay, thanks, Pete.
Take care now.
Bye.
And you've been listening to Boomer the Babe Show, the afternoon version, the national version of the Boomer the Babe Show with Chris Vaca. And Chris has got the website Over 50 and Broke, and all of his stuff stems from that website. So anything that we talked about today, if you're interested, go to Chris's website, Over 50 and Broke. I want to thank you for listening in today. We'll be back again tomorrow with more programming. Have a great rest of your afternoon on both coasts now, because it is, after all, it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon on the West Coast, so it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon everywhere, except possibly Hawaii and Alaska. So anyhow, have a great day, everyone. Be back again tomorrow. Hope you'll be willing to join us. Thank you very much. Take care. Have a good day.
Boom and the Babe Show, where we bring interesting conversations to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as Pete Peters 47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.